like last millennium, right? A long time ago. It is a long time ago, but for some people it doesn't seem that long ago at all. Thought it'd be fun, take a little trip down memory lane. I remember 1979, by the way. I was 11 years old. Here's some fun facts about life in the USA in 1979. Price of gas, 88 cents a gallon. You remember 88 cents a gallon? Yeah. There was a time in 1979 during the gas shortage there were certain days that you could go buy gas. Like if your license plate ended in an odd number, then you might be able to get gas that day. If not, you had to wait till the next day to buy gas. You guys remember that? Yeah, some of you, and some of you are like, Okay, moving on. A Super Bowl ad in 1979 cost only $185,000, which is a bargain considering today they're $5 million for a Super Bowl ad. That's pretty amazing. If you're buying Christmas presents in 1979 or hoping for a Christmas present in 1979, you might have been hoping for a Sony Walkman. Remember those things? Yeah, they put the tape. Do you know those things they sold for $200? That's ridiculous. Also, the Atari computer system, the game system. Yeah, we had one of those. Man, I was vicious on Pong and some of the other crazy games. And we look at those games now, we're like, this is dumb. But really, what's cool back then? We thought it was amazing. How many remember the Strawberry Shortcake doll? Alyssa, you had one? Yeah. How many of you still have yours? Anybody still have yours? It's worth money. Bill, you still have yours? Oh, okay. You were pointing at somebody else. Oh, you're pointing at someone else. Okay. Hey, I'm not saying anything. Okay. I really am being very careful what I say right now. ESPN came out in 1979. Now you look at those images now, you're like, wow, that looks so ancient. That's just so crazy. Here's something maybe you remember. This lady named Elvita Adams. She wanted to end it all. So she actually jumped off of the 86th floor of the Empire State Building, end her life, thinking she's going to end her life, she's going to hit solid concrete. She did hit solid concrete. What's crazy is that as she jumped off the 85th or 86th floor of the Empire State Building, a strong wind blew her back into the Empire State Building. She landed on the 85th floor. Broke her hip. Hey, she's like, I can't even do that right, you know? But it happened in 1979. Here's one. The devil went down to Georgia and he was looking for a soul to steal. Charlie Daniels Band. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I still like that song. That's great. Here's a bonus for you. The Iowa Hawkeyes football record, 1979, 5-6. It might be that way this year, too. Yeah, I don't know. But it was the first year of head coach Hayden Fry. Yeah. So, hey, things were getting better. Seems like a long time ago, 40 years, but really not that long ago. A lot has changed. People have come. People have gone. But one thing has not changed. The God who was just as faithful in 1979 is just as faithful right here in 2019. Thank God that He is faithful. So appreciated that great version of Great is Thy Faithfulness. What a great reminder. You know, whatever the season of life is, God is always, always faithful, and we celebrate Him. If you were here last week, you remember I spoke about the Israelites as they were delivered out of Egypt, out of captivity, and God led them to a little place called Kadesh Barnea, which is right on the doorstep of the Promised Land, and they were about to experience God's best for them and God's plan, but because of their disobedience, they missed out on that. And so they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and they were walking past each other's gravestones for 40 years until that disobedient generation died out. And there was just two people left of that whole generation came out of Egypt, a guy named Caleb, a guy named Joshua. So if you're looking for good kids' names, boys' names, those are great names to be picking out. Guys who are faithful to God, so that generation died off, but God's plans didn't die off. God still had a plan for his people. And then as new leadership arose, a guy named Joshua was now going to be leading the people of Israel. And we pick up his story coincidentally in the book of Joshua. And so if you turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1, follow along with me as I read about them stepping forward in hope and looking for God's very best. So Joshua chapter 1, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and then the book of Joshua. I'm going to read the first 11 verses of Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the promised land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, we will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. This story is so chock full of great, great lessons, great truths, and I encourage you to read through this story and read through chapters 1, 2, and 3 of Joshua and just pray through that and write down some insights that you have. And I know God He always speaks to me through this great story of Joshua. But what I want to focus on this morning is, how do you move forward after you've missed God's best? Is there a way that you can move forward after you've missed it? Because that's really what Israel was doing here. It had been 40 years when they missed God's best. But yet God had now graciously given them a new opportunity to step forward in faith and to believe Him and trust Him. And if you're familiar with the book of Joshua, you know that they did choose to believe God. They chose to step out in faith. They chose to not settle for, well, we've never done it this way before. Instead, they decided that they were going to move forward with boldness. They were willing to take a risk and bank on the confident assurance of God's faithfulness. So we can do the very same thing. We don't have to wait till we have to cross a raging river to do this either. I mean, in our spiritual lives, in our life as a congregation, we get to do the very same thing. We have opportunities that God is leading, and we can step forward in faith. So here's some lessons that I find that are helping me in my spiritual walk. I believe they can help you as well. The first thing, we can only move forward when we remember that God is with us. It seems simple enough, doesn't it? Just remember that God's with you. But it is transforming. Because they're starting a brand new chapter. I mean, the very first words that Joshua hears from the Lord is, Moses, my servant, is dead. Well, that's starting out as a downer here, God. But what he's saying is that, look, the one that you were looking to before, the one who has led you guys, who brought you out of Egypt, and he was so faithful to you guys throughout that whole time in the wilderness, that chapter of the story of your life is over. But God was saying, as I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. And what he's saying is he's reassuring them of God's presence. And look what it says there in verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Just break that down a little bit and you can see the difference of being assured of God's presence makes. When you know that God is with you, fear does not stand a chance in your life. Do not be afraid, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. When you know that God is with you, discouragement is overcome by His encouragement. He says, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Because God is with you, you have all the strength you need no matter what you face. He tells right there, be strong, because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go, no matter what you face. Now, think of what they're about to attempt here. They're going to cross the Jordan River, and there are times at that river, boy, it looks like Malone Creek. There's not much to it. But there are other times, it happened to be this time of the year, that it is a raging, flooding, crazy river they had to go across. It's like trying to cross the Mississippi down in Davenport when the dams broke. I mean, it's crazy. Why would you ever want to attempt that? I mean, this doesn't make any sense at all. And besides, and if you were able to get across that crazy flooding river, then you have to face fortified cities. You have to fight armies. And you have to try to conquer the land. This is just not happening. This is just foolishness. I mean, it's way too big. It's way too much. I mean, it's not wise, not prudent. It is, frankly, impossible. Yeah, it would look that way. One of the biggest lies the devil whispers to you is that you have to go through this all on your own. That the current battle that you're struggling with right now, you just got to find it in yourself to do it, and you can't do it because you've lost again and again and again. You're nothing but a loser. That's what the devil will tell you over and over again. Because we don't have the strength in our own to make it. And that's the mistake we always make, thinking, well, since I failed before, I'm always going to fail again. Thinking that, I've never done this before, and so why should I even attempt to do this? Did you know, years ago, in the light division of General Electric, there was a running joke. The joke was that we're trying to frost the inside of a light bulb. Yeah, they had no idea how to do this. They tried and they failed. They tried and they failed. And so they would actually assign this to some of the new guys, and watch them fail. Then they would all have this really good laugh about it. There's a newcomer who came along. His name was Martin Pimkin. And Martin Pimkin, he was given that task when he first started there at General Electric Lamp Division. We want you to be able to find a way to frost the inside of an incandescent light bulb. And the other guys are back there snickering. This is going to be funny to watch this guy. You know what he ended up doing? He ended up believing it actually could be done. And he developed a new etching acid that actually not only frosted the inside of the bulb, but because of the type of pits and microscopic dimples it made on the glass, it actually made the light bulb stronger than what they were before. Well, everybody else was saying it can't be done. Martin Pimkin ended up go ahead and doing it. Because he actually believed it actually could be done. And so often what we end up falling into in our spiritual lives, just in our professional lives and just in life in general. We end up having negative seeds planted inside of our heads, don't we? Saying, yep, you failed before. Oh, you can't do that. That's too big for you. There's no way you're going to be able to pull that one off. And so often we stop short of what God can do in us and what God can do for us and what we can do for others, what we can do for ourselves even. We stop way too short. Think about your latest diet. You think, well, this ain't going to work. Give up on that because I failed so many other times before. See, it's those seeds of negativity that we allow just to keep growing and taking over our mind. The next time that you are expecting to come up short of that goal again, whatever your goal is, maybe it's a spiritual goal, maybe you want to read through the Bible this year. You think, well, I've tried it before and I failed, it's too big. Or maybe it's overcoming a habit that God keeps bringing up in your life, and you keep falling to, and you're like, well, I'm going to fail again. What's the use of trying? Or maybe there's some things in your marriage, your family, that you'd like to see get better. Well, we tried to deal with that before, and it ended up just getting worse. Next time you come up against something that you just are sure is impossible to fix, just remember what God says: be strong. Be courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Yep. This past week I learned how to put up a garage door. Check that off my bucket list. Got to do something. That's pretty neat. It's something I've never done before. I've never put up a garage door before. Well, I mean, I hit the button and it went up. Okay, so I installed a garage door. Two of them, in fact. Bill Andrews, he said, hey, would you be willing to help me to put up the garage doors out here in the church garage? I said, sure. He had no idea why he asked me to do this. I don't know why he asked me to do this. You know what? And he mumbled something about somebody with a weak mind and a strong back, and that's what he was looking for. And so he ended up with me. And you can see, I'm left-handed, and so when I try to get mechanical, my deficiencies really start showing up. And it's a good thing it was a white garage door, because I'm also colorblind. And so, yeah, you get problems. I've got issues, people. But you know, Bill did not ask me to help him because of my expertise. He knew what he was doing. He was asking me to join him in accomplishing that task. If I would trust what he was doing and follow his leadership, guess what? The garage doors would actually be installed, and they are. It's pretty amazing. You see, and that's another key for us as we are stepping forward in hope and moving forward in our lives. We need to follow God's leadership. As he's moving, that's when we need to be moving. When he's not moving, that's when we need to stay still. For Joshua and his people, putting God first and following his leading meant we're going to follow a God who has some wild promises. Cross an incredible river at flood stage? That's crazy. Go and attack fortified cities. Go and take on armies that are much bigger than us. I mean, these guys are untrained. They are outmanned. They are outgunned. They had no allies in the area that were going to help them whatsoever. But the one thing they did have is they had a God who was present, and a God who was moving, and a God who always keeps his promises. They were standing on the promises of God that sink or swim, we're going to follow his leadership. And that is exactly what God told Joshua to have the people do. He said, be very careful to obey all the law that my servant Moses gave you. Don't turn from it to the right or to the left so you can be successful wherever you go. Meditate on it day and night, that you can be careful to do everything that's written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. See, God is one who leads, and you're the one who follows. There's a couple questions I want to give you this morning, things I want you to ponder. What does your next step of following God's leadership look like? Think about that for a moment. What does the next step of God's leadership look like in my life? Next question, what's keeping you from taking that step? It's the third question. When was the last time you attempted something for God for the very first time? Let's move on just a little bit. I want you to fill in this blank. It's the name of the church that has this as their mission statement: to glorify God by being a faithful steward of all that is entrusted to us, and to have a positive influence on all who come in contact with. What church has that as their mission statement? Got any guesses? No guesses? Anybody? That's not our church's mission statement. No, that's a good one, though. I like that one. Any idea? Want to guess a church? No? Okay, it is a trick question. It is not the mission statement of a church. It is actually the mission statement of Chick-fil-A. Isn't that crazy? That is exactly what Chick-fil-A has as their purpose statement. The chicken sandwich place, you know, where the cows are saying, eat more chicken? Yeah, they're saying to glorify God by being a faithful steward of all that is entrusted to us and to have a positive influence on all who come in contact with Chick-fil-A. That is their mission statement. I don't get to go to Chick-fil-A very often. But man, when I do, guess what? When I show up there, that place is super clean. The food is really good. I give my order. Instead of giving me a number, they ask for my name. I go sit at the table, and someone comes, and they bring the food right to my table. And when I tell them thank you know what they say? My pleasure. They're trained to do that. See, if you're going to work at Chick-fil-A, you need to be personally invested in carrying out that mission statement. As an employee there, you're running the cash register, or you're back there making chicken sandwiches, you're mopping the floor, whatever it is that you're doing, you're doing it to glorify God, to be a faithful steward of all that is entrusted to you, even if that means that this is this mop that I have. That with this mop, I'm going to make a positive influence on all who come in contact with me because I'm working for Chick-fil-A. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? A great place. Makes you hungry just thinking about it, doesn't it? It does me. But they expect every team member to buy in to that statement. And yeah, it's going to look different, you know, based on what your responsibilities are. If you're running the mop or if you're the store manager or if you're someone in the corporate office, it's going to be different how that's all going to work out. But everyone has a part in fulfilling that mission statement. On the banks of the Jordan River, Joshua expected everybody to buy in to the mission that God had for them. He told the guys to go through the camp, tell them, get your gear ready, because in 3 days, we're crossing over this Jordan River. We're not waiting another 12 months or 18 months or somehow maybe the water will go down a little bit or maybe something else will happen or maybe somebody will come and build a bridge. He said, we're not waiting on that. We want to be following when God is leading. We want to be walking in obedience because God's moving forward. He was saying, we're going to go take over the land that we should have taken over 40 years ago. We're going to get back in alignment with what God has in store for us. I'll just share with you our mission statement here at our church. It's pretty simple. Here's what God is calling us to do. Would you read this with me? Changing lives by leading others into a growing relationship with Jesus. That's what we do. That's what we do if you're running the backpack vacuum cleaner. Or if you're someone who is teaching a small group. If you're someone who's driving the church van in the parade. If you're somebody who's preaching a message or singing a song. Or if you're going out and you're passing out an invitation. If you're serving on the board. Or if you're picking up the sticks out of the yard after a storm. It all comes back to changing lives by leading others into a growing relationship with Jesus. It doesn't matter if you've been walking with God for 40 years, since 1979. Our goal is that you will be in a growing relationship with Jesus. It doesn't matter if you're from Togo. Our goal is that you would be growing in a relationship with Jesus. Doesn't matter how many times you failed in the past, our goal is that you will be in a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. That's our goal for our children's ministry. That's our goal for the youth ministry. That's our goal for everyone. We want you to grow in a relationship with Jesus. That you're becoming more like Jesus each and every day. It's not our goal, really. That's what God's goal is. That's his plan. That's what God is doing with all that's happening. And I want to just ask you, are you on board with that? Are you on board with that statement of our church? So much so that you're willing to give your time and your resources, your abilities, to see that vision become a reality in people's lives. Even if it hurts. Even if it means we have to do something we've never done before. Even if we have to take a risk. The founder of Chick-fil-A is a guy by the name of Truett Cathy. He said this. He said, nearly every moment of every day, we have the opportunity to give something to someone else. Our time, our love, our resources. He goes on to say, I have always found more joy in giving when I did not expect anything in return. You know, if a guy who makes chicken sandwiches can live like that, how much more can a church, as followers of Jesus, live that out? When we remember that God is with us, when we are following God's leadership, when we are personally involved in His mission. I know God's leading is always forward. It's never backwards. There's no reverse in the Christian life. It's true in your life personally. It's also true in our congregation as a congregation.